Two-thirds, basically, of American adults believe that God can supernaturally heal today. I think that's amazing. In an increasingly scientific, influenced cultural mindset where everything has a reason why, and with all the medical advancements that have been made in the medical field, that still two-thirds of American adults believe that God can supernaturally heal without the use of doctors, medicine, or natural healing processes. That's a pretty amazing statistic. Yet, of the 66% who believe that, only 27% have actually experienced the divine, supernatural healing work of God apart from doctors, medicine, or the natural healing processes of the body. Interesting, isn't it? Two-thirds believe it, but only a quarter have experienced it. And so we do believe that God has called us to be a place where Christ's presence by the Holy Spirit would bring healing to people. And while we will never, and I will never claim to understand why some people are healed and why some people are not, we'll wrestle with that question as we talk about the healing presence of Jesus. We want to be a place that we both grow in our belief that God still heals today and that we grow in our experience of Jesus the healer healing people today. While certainly not everyone gets healed on this side of heaven, wouldn't it be great to see that gap between the 66% who believe that he still does supernaturally heal close, so it's more like 50 or 60 or even 66% of the 66% who believe it experience it? Wouldn't that be amazing? Certainly, there's mystery in it. But we would love to see God close that gap. And so today we want to begin by just seeking to understand the biblical basis for healing so that we have a biblical understanding of the theological understandings of healing and who it's for today. So that we would leave this day more convinced than when we came in that Jesus still heals today. Amen? Sermon notes are in your bulletin. Can follow along with those if you want. Two main thoughts this morning. First is that healing was paid for at the cross. Healing was paid for at the cross. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we'll read the whole section as we go along a little bit later, but the section concludes with this. It says in verse 16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed or many who were afflicted by demons were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Amen. Jesus took upon himself at the cross, he took upon himself our sins. Jesus took our sins upon himself. Now, if you would leave your finger in Matthew chapter 8, we'll get back to that in a few minutes, and go about halfway through the Bible, you'll find the book of Psalm, and just start working your way back. You'll come to Proverbs. Then you'll come to Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. I want to look in Isaiah chapter 53 for a few moments this morning because Matthew in his writing links Matthew chapter 8 and Isaiah chapter 53. And so we want to get an idea of where he's talking about when he links Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6. Isaiah the prophet is speaking hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up and gives a messianic prophecy, a prophecy of what the Messiah, who Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, what he would do. In Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In those three powerful verses that portray and that foreshadow and foretell what Jesus was going to do on the cross, we are told that Jesus took our sins upon himself. And Isaiah gives two words of how sin and the types of sin that were given to Jesus that he took upon himself for us. The first is transgressions. You will notice in verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. Transgression is to choose to intentionally disobey. It is willful trespassing. It may not be thought ahead, but at the moment it is, I know this is a wrong thing, but I am going to choose willfully to do what I know is wrong, to violate the law of God. It's in that moment when you have been called on the carpet and you know that you are wrong and you have been caught in it, you have the choice to either own it and tell the truth or deny it and lie. Transgression is willfully coming to that place where in that moment you say, I don't want to admit that I'm wrong, and so you deny it and you lie. Well, it's the whole homework thing. I didn't forget my homework at home. The what? The dog ate it, right? It is a willful choice in the moment being pressed to tell the truth or not tell the truth to be able to say, I am going to willfully disobey and I am going to transgress. That is transgression. It's driving along willfully saying, I don't want to stop for the stop sign. I'm going to blow through the speed limit. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's a blatant disregard of authority. Isaiah says these transgressions, these willful choices to disobey, Jesus took upon himself. There's another word. He was pierced for our transgressions in verse 5, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquity goes beyond transgression. Iniquity is a premeditated choice. It is a continuing without repentance. It is ongoing, willful sin. It's how am I going to engage in this sinful activity? It's not in the moment I'm pressured and I willfully choose between obedience and disobedience. It's in the moment that's transgression. Iniquity is thinking ahead of time, how am I going to engage in this? How am I going to make it work so that I might work and I might commit iniquity, sin? The amazing thing about all of these things, both transgression and iniquity, is that Jesus took these upon himself at the cross. An evangelism explosion, I did evangelism explosion as part of an internship when I was back in seminary. So 2001 and 2002, I learned evangelism explosion. I know that in the history of the Dorseyville Alliance Church, evangelism explosion was used. Is there anyone who did evangelism explosion? All right, got a couple here. Well, one of the illustrations in evangelism explosion to be able to understand our sin and Jesus taking it upon himself goes like this. Imagine in this Bible that I have that the front is my birth certificate and the end is my death certificate. This would be a lot bigger if this was true, but imagine that every single page has recorded every sin that I have ever committed and that I will commit for the rest of my life. I can tell you, it would be a lot bigger than this, or else we're talking like microscopic print in this thing. Imagine this as your life. your birth certificate at the front and your death certificate at the end, and a book filled with every single sin that you have ever committed. Well, Isaiah 53 says in verse 6, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That all of my sin here, all of my sins, all my transgressions, all my iniquities, everything that I have done to offend a holy God, that Jesus at the cross allowed the Father to lay all of it upon him. The sinless, perfect, holy Son of God, who knew no sin, became sin for us as the sin of the world. My sin laid upon Jesus. And at the cross, he took it. And at the cross, he died to pay the price that my sin deserved. See, we believe that Jesus at the cross took all of our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, all of our sins, the ways we missed the perfect standard of God, took it all upon himself. But we also believe that Jesus took our sicknesses upon himself at the cross as well. Verse 4, it says, "Surely he took up our infirmities." Infirmities refers to both sicknesses and diseases. "And he carried our sorrows." Sorrows refer to all physical and mental ailments and pains. It's both physical and emotional sickness and disease. Jesus took not only our sin upon himself, but he took all of the effects of sin with sickness, disease, illness, mental illness, physical illness, everything. He took it all upon himself so that at the cross, he paid for not just our sin, but he paid for our sickness and our diseases as well. Which is why Matthew links in verse 17, this was to fulfill, he took up and he carried our sicknesses and our sorrows. Jesus still heals today, and the reason and the ways that he healed is because he paid for it at the cross. Jesus made atonement for it all. Now, atonement is one of those Bible words that if you're not particularly familiar with church language, you may look at it and go, well, that's a big word, and I have absolutely no idea what it means. Atonement simply means the covering over of sin with the blood of Jesus. That at the cross of Christ, Jesus died, his blood shed for us to cover over the sin that we have committed. So that when a perfect and holy God looks upon us, he looks not at our sin, but he looks at the blood of Christ that covers us. Jesus, dying on the cross, died so that our sin would be covered over, but also he made possible the healing of our sicknesses and our diseases at the cross. This is an amazing work that Jesus has done, isn't it? Jesus paid for our healing at the cross. See, at the cross, both forgiveness of sin and the healing of infirmities and diseases was made possible. It's the biblical basis for healing. Which begs a question for us. Many times we believe, without a lot of struggle, that when we come to Christ and ask and repent and ask for the forgiveness of our sins, that he does it. If Jesus' work on the cross paid for our sin and our sickness, why do we struggle so much believing that he is able to heal? Very few people, when you tell the good news that Jesus can forgive, they may struggle over, well, I don't know if I want to receive this. I don't know, because I know this is going to change the way I live my life and I have to now follow Jesus. But it's good news. And we believe that an all-forgiving God would forgive our sin. But there's some block oftentimes that we would believe that the same way that the Father forgives our sin through the cross of Christ, he also heals our sicknesses and our diseases. We come to him easily for forgiveness. But oftentimes we run to many other things for our sicknesses and disease. Friends, as we talk about the biblical basis for healing, the biblical basis is the same for forgiveness as it is for healing. And part of that 66 and 27 number and shrinking that gap believes that the same God who forgives also heals. And that we would ask the Lord to strengthen our faith, to encourage our belief, that we would begin to walk from, I hope he does this, to, you know what, I'm starting to expect maybe he might do something, to, you know what, I think he is absolutely going to bring healing in this situation because he has said it, he's promised it here, and I am going to believe because the Lord has spoken, and I'm going to trust him for healing. Again, not every time, and it's the mystery of healing. But that we would believe more and more that the God who forgives is also the God who heals. It's all in the same basis. It's Jesus' work on the cross. Healing was paid for at the cross. Second thought this morning, and that is that healing is available to all people. It's a great message at our district conference on this idea that's available to all people. Took a little bit different direction, but I want us to understand that all people healing is available to. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, there are three groups of people that Jesus brings healing to. The first group of people that Jesus brings healing to is the outcasts. Matthew 8, beginning in verse 1, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, Jesus. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy or made clean of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to him. Jesus does something that just totally goes against everything that the culture valued. Lepers, those with this incurable skin disease, were outside of the town. No one was able to go near them. They were considered the untouchables, because if you would touch somebody with leprosy, you have now exposed yourself and it could be transferred to you as a belief. And so Jesus not only comes to a place where he heals this leper, but he does something that this leper would have never had in years and years and years and years. Physical touch from a person that wasn't a leper. Everybody would have gone crazy. Everybody would have looked at this and said, Jesus, how dare you? What are you doing that you would touch the unclean, the outcast of society? Stay away. Don't touch them. And Jesus not only heals, but he touches. He goes to the outcast. We read it today and say, yay, Jesus, good job. That's awesome. Jesus healed the leper, the man with the incurable skin disease. Jesus' disciples and those who were following him, the large crowd, would have said, how in the world would he ever touch an outcast like that? Jesus is making a statement. Because healing is for everyone, it also includes the outcasts. You know, the lepers of our day, they may be the refugees and the immigrants in our culture. Those who are on the outside fringes of society. They may be the ones that we are collecting bags for of supplies for the harsh winter ahead, the homeless down in Pittsburgh. The ones that as you walk by, everything in you says, I don't want to make eye contact. They're the outcasts. They're the drug addicts of our culture. They're the outcasts. They're the sex offenders of our culture. Those who stay, we have to stay, build walls to keep protection from. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus and his work on the cross to provide forgiveness and healing, it's for the outcasts, those that our society would not think of. Jesus heals the outcast. He also heals the outsider. In verses 5 through 13, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. And Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Notice Jesus' response. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Jesus doesn't even need to show up. He just says the word. And the servant is healed at that very hour. Jesus paid for healing at the cross. But what's very interesting about this is that this is not an Israelite. This is a Roman Gentile centurion. This was the outsider in the Jewish community. This was, there are Jews and there's everyone else, the Gentiles. They're the ones that are outside the work of God. They can be brought in, but they're not as inside as us. In the temple, God had set up a place for the Gentiles to come and worship, but it was at the back of the temple, not near the Holy of Holies, not where everyone could go that was an Israelite, a Jew, to be able to go and worship God, back out. And it was often the place where the sacrifices were set up that kept the outsiders out. And it's interesting that the person who is said to have the greatest faith in all of Israel is not a Jew. It's a Gentile. Jesus blows everything out of the water and he says, I've come for all, including the Gentiles. Including those who, in the day that Jesus came to minister to, those who were considered on the outside looking in. Today, a Gentile outsider of our day may be those who really don't come to church. They're the ones that on Sunday morning are off doing something with their family or with their kids or at a sporting event. Or they're on the golf course or they're hanging out. They're doing this or they're doing that. Church is the last thing that they could ever think about doing on Sunday morning. It's those who may not look very religious. It's those whose lives are kind of messy and make us church people feel kind of uncomfortable. Yet people who are open to spiritual things. People who may be turned off from the church, but are extremely open to Jesus. People who are on the outside from what we have constructed that says you're in and you're out. It's the non-religious people of our day. And yet it's these people, this person that Jesus says he has the greatest faith that I've seen in all of Israel. All the religious people, all the Christians, this guy has more faith than the rest of them. That's an amazing, amazing claim that Jesus makes, isn't it? And yet, outside of what they look like or what they do or where they go, Jesus came and his healing is for the outsider as well. Last group of people. When Jesus came, verse 14, into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Jesus' healing is for the other half. You see, women in Jesus' day were considered second class. A devout Jewish man would pray every day, God, thank you that I am not a Gentile, a slave, and a woman. Because in the day, a woman was considered the property of the man. They were the other half. Women and children were the other half of society. You had men, and then you had the other half. And you understand the phraseology doesn't always mean that it's 50-50. It just means there's those who are the in ones and those who are the other half. We build these things in our culture, don't we? We even build these things in the church. We elevate some with positions of power and influence, and others don't have as much of a voice. They're the other half. But in Jesus, the playing field is level. Everyone comes to the foot of the cross on equal footing and ground. There is no one who is greater and others who are less. We all come to the foot of the cross equally. There is no other half. Today, the other half are those where lines have been drawn due to gender, where lines have been drawn due to race, where lines have been drawn due to age, where lines have been drawn due to power, due to privilege, and due to wealth. You know, it's been interesting. We have a surgery coming up in our family this week. And in the midst of that, has been shown over and over and over again, that if you have the right insurance, you can easily get your surgery covered. If you don't have the right insurance, you may get it, but you got to work really hard and fight for it. See, we don't like to think of those lines in our culture, and they exist in the church. But Jesus came and his healing is for the other half as well. Jesus came for the healing of all people. See, it says at the end in verses 16 and 17, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed or afflicted were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed. If you have it, what's the word? All. It's not 27%, is it? All the sick that were there that night, all that were afflicted by the demonic, were released from their bondage that night. Everyone who came got a touch from the healer. Shows for us that all people are able to come to Jesus for healing. And I believe the reason that Matthew shows these three groups so clearly is because it would have been assumed that there was a group that could have come to Jesus and the answer would have been yes. But there is a large other group that it would have been a shock to think that they as well could have come to Jesus. Friends, I don't know where you find yourself at and where you view yourself at. You may be in the letter D area. The, of course, Jesus would touch my life. But you may view yourself as an outcast or an outsider or part of the other half. Friends, I want us to know at the heart of Jesus, he paid for the forgiveness and the healing of not just a select group, but of all who will call on him. And I can say with confidence that all will be healed, and here's why. One day, if you're a believer in Jesus, not only will your sin be totally forgiven as it is, but the effects of sickness and disease and illness will all be washed away when we pass from this life to the next. All will be healed, as all who will be forgiven completely because of the blood of Jesus. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's forgiveness. It's healing. But oh, how I would love to see the Lord, and I believe it's the Lord's heart for us, that the gap of those who believe it and experience it to one in one way, shape, or form, where it's no other person gets the credit or the glory except King Jesus. How we would love to see more belief that he supernaturally heals and more experience the touch of Jesus. Because Jesus is not just after our physical or our spiritual. He wants to meet us in the physical as well for the glory of his great name. I want to show you just a 3 or 4 minute video testimony of a man in Puerto Rico by the name of Noel Pinheiro Planas, and he will say it much better than my Spanish allows. But his testimony of healing gives testimony that our God, that our Jesus, is more than just the Savior. He's our healer as well.